Well, first of all, I want about an hour and a half of your time because it's so fascinating. Your life is fascinating, the whole sort of beginning of it, and then what you've done with it since. I kind of had a few things that were sort of perhaps random, but I was going to throw them out.
Okay, sure, absolutely.
One of the things I was struck by is just maybe did you have a love of theatricals as a youth? I noticed some comment had said your dad maybe had some interest in that because there's sort of just an element of theater to some of these things, and I don't know if that was part of that equation.
I never thought about that, but in an interview with Barbara Walters, Leonardo DiCaprio said that he felt I was probably one of the greatest actors that ever lived because he said he truly lived as acting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week during the time he was doing all of that. So there was probably some element of that. At the time, being a six-year-old boy, I really wasn't thinking about that, but there was probably, yes, had to deal with a lot of creative acting and stuff like that during
right.
that time.
So how do you, I mean, I do think you're probably a creative person. Do you sort of channel that now into this sort of figuring out this whole idea?
Oh, yeah. You know, I have been at the FBI for 4 decades, so most of the work I do is along that area to figure out how things have happened and how they've occurred. But I've also worked with a great deal of technologies that I've helped develop over the years that I work on the side of trying to figure out how to beat the technology before it's actually developed and sent out into the marketplace so they can take away those threats of having somebody right. defeat the technology. So I constantly use those abilities both in that way and working with the Bureau as well.
So that ability to sort of think like someone else or think and put yourself
right. Well, as one CEO explained, when a reporter asked him, you work with Mr. Abagnale for 15 years in developing all these different fraud detection technologies, but Mr. Abagnale doesn't write code. And he said, no, he doesn't write code, but I'm not a criminal. So he said, you know, Mr. Abagnale looks at things much differently than I look at them. So I can go develop these things, but then he and I play chess together. I tell him I did this, and he says, well, I would circumvent that by doing this. Then I go back and fix that, and he comes back and says, well, you still have a loophole over here because I could do this. Until the day he tells me, well, that was pretty tight, then I know I have a good product.
That's amazing. But then it kind of brings up another question that struck me the whole time thinking about this is, you must view the world. I mean, do you feel like you are a cynical person? Is it hard for you to take things at face value or just your approach to life?
I believe that there's nothing wrong with being skeptical and there's okay. nothing wrong with verifying things. So I believe it's very simple to verify most things. So if I feel there's something I'm being told that's not accurate, I go check it out. And this is what I tell folks through AARP all the time, that if you get a call, it takes 2 seconds to hang up and verify that was who actually called you or verify the information they gave you. And it's just about, there's nothing wrong with being a little bit skeptical and saying, I'm going to check that out.
So skeptical is maybe a better word than cynical.
Yes.
So, but that's the other thing that strikes me is when I read about some of these cons and when you see them come across and maybe more aware or less aware, someone maybe my age versus someone my mother-in-law's age, for example, but some of them seem so obvious to me and maybe not obvious to other people. So is there, everyone's probably capable of being fooled. Is there something that makes one person more capable than another of being, is it honesty, is it gullibility? I mean, some of these things like seem like positive things.
No, so. It's truly, and you hit on it, honesty. The majority of people are basically honest. And because they're honest, they don't have a deceptive mind. So when someone calls and says they're the IRS or comes up on their phone, Tulsa Police Department, they assume that's who it is. And whatever they tell them, they're not sitting there thinking, now how would this be a scam and how would this, they don't think in that way. They're thinking this must be the facts. And so that's the problem. So I tell people all the time, there is nothing to be ashamed of about being scammed. I could be scammed. Anybody could be scammed. The most important thing is if you are scammed to let someone know, whether it's your loved one or the police, because otherwise nothing can be done about it and there'll be another victim. So I always tell people just because someone ripped you off, that's nothing to be ashamed of, but you want to make sure they don't rip somebody else off. So you need to tell someone, either a loved one or the police, so it doesn't happen again.
And that's really good advice because I think you yes. do kind of hit on that where you're embarrassed that you fell for something.
Exactly, and they don't want to tell anybody
right.
what happened. Yeah.
Right. So if you're going to distill something, and I'm sure you're asked this frequently, and honestly, I'm kind of thinking about my husband, who's the sweetest man, but sometimes I'm, why did you open that link? What were you thinking, you
right.
know? I mean, just look at who it was sent from. It doesn't even match. But so if you're trying to just distill a little bit of advice to pass on to someone like my husband, which I shouldn't have mentioned now, or or someone like someone my mother-in-law's age, or just a, some simple rules to think by when...
The simple rules is, first of all, in the case of robocalls, the more you stay on the phone with the robocall, the longer they're going to keep calling you back, because the computers they use and the software they use is timing the call. So if you hang up in 3 seconds, they're not going to call you back. But if you're going to stay on the phone and listen to the message, or you're going to press the prompts, or some people like to know it's a scam, but they want to challenge them on the phone, that's just keeping them on the phone, and that's going to get you more robocalls. So when they call and say, IRS, hang up, because the IRS does not telephone anyone. Right. So you hang up the phone. And if you do get a call and it says it's your bank or it's the Tulsa Police Department, just listen and then simply hang up and call back and verify that information. Did you call me? I just received this call. And if my bank calls me, or supposedly a credit card company, and they say, yes, you can call me back, here's my 800 number, you don't call that number. You go to the phone book and you look up that bank, and then you call the number in the phone book and say, I got a phone call that told me to call this 800 number. These are things that just take a minute or so to check, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. It's much better and wiser to verify the information is, you're getting is accurate, than to just act on that information.
But some of that must be, and you know, kind of overcoming innate politeness or innate, some people like, oh, I hate to misjudge, you know, I think that whole idea,
But that's why education is so important. You know, I've spent 40 years of my career, but dealing with crimes against governments and corporations. So I'm dealing with teaching corporations how not to be victimized. So when ARP approached me a couple of years ago about doing this, I thought this was a great way to take my career to an end, to also do some work with consumers. And it's the same thing, educating them. So when I say to a corporation, this is how they're going to rip you off, then they understand that. So when that comes, they already know it's coming and what it is. It's the same thing. If you explain to people, here's how the scam works, and this is what they're going to say. So when you get that call, you'll know that. Well, once they know that, they know how to act on it. The problem is that most people are not aware of what should I do, or they've never even heard of these scams. Mm-hmm. So when the call comes, they don't know any better.
So yeah, so just letting them know that this is going on. And the
Yeah,
direction.
Education is an extremely powerful tool to fighting crime of any kind.
So interesting. The other thing that I wondered about is kind of reading about the old-fashioned scam or the old-fashioned con pre sort of technology. Are there so many of the same elements going on, but it's just done in a different fashion, or is sort of this whole online banking, online everything just blown it wide open?
No, it's all the same basic scams, and I speak all over the world, so no matter what country I'm in, they're all pretty much the same scam. They may have a little twist on them based on the banking system or something of that nature, but these are all old scams that have been perpetrated for years. The only difference is now you have the technology. So when we had the Nigerian scam, the Nigerians would use counterfeit Nigerian stamps, and they'd send out maybe 50,000 letters, hoping that one person would respond and fall for it. Today, they have the ability to send out 50 million emails, so their chances of getting somebody to respond are much greater. So the internet and the robocalling, all those things just allow you to reach thousands of more people than you were able to reach 20 years ago. But it's the same people. The only thing that's really gone away in reality is the famous con man, the con man who was the well-dressed, well-spoken, had a great vocabulary. You instantly liked him. Those days are gone, because you never see who's victimizing you. They're sitting in a kitchen in Russia and talking to you, and you think they're down the street. So you're never going to see them. So what they look like or how they sound is all irrelevant. So that has changed. Like the old days of the suave con man are gone, because technology has replaced that with a computer. We look at the computer and we do what the computer says.
Sort of that whole romanticized version.
Yes,
we've lost that.
Right, yes, yes.
Then just on a personal note, was it just bizarre to see your life in musical and in movies? Was that odd for you?
Yeah,
that?
I raised my children in Tulsa. I lived here for 25 years.
Right.
And mainly because I wanted to keep my children away from that. And I didn't ever, during that time, I never spoke in Tulsa. I never did any media in Tulsa. And though I traveled the world and did the kind of work I do today, it was never done here for the sole purpose of my kids wanting them to grow up without that background. Of course, my children were old enough to know who I was and my background, but I didn't feel they needed to deal with it on a daily basis. And Tulsa was great. They left you alone. It was a great, a wonderful, wonderful place to raise my three boys here. When the movie came, I thought the movie would come out and I'd have to deal with the movie for a little while. Then the movie would go away and people would forget about who I was. And, you know, Catch Me If You Can went on to earn more than $1 billion for DreamWorks. It went on to be a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical and went on to be a popular TV show, White Collar, on TV. So it never ends. Right. So I constantly get emails. I can always tell when the movie's been on TV because when I go to my office in the morning, there's all these emails from people who watch the movie and are trying to send me an email. So I know the movie's been played.
Maybe people have that nostalgia for that old kind of con, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I did find it interesting, though, one of your sons did go into the FBI and
yes.
to law enforcement.
Yeah, my three boys went to school from kindergarten to eighth grade at Monte Cassino, and then they went to Bishop Kelly High School. My oldest boy, all three went on to college, but my oldest boy went on to KU, and then he went on to Loyola School of Law in Chicago. And from the time he was 14, he wanted to be an FBI agent. He set his mind to do that. The Bureau takes one in every 10,000 applicants,
wow.
so it's very, very difficult to become an FBI agent. Made his dad very, very proud. He's been an agent for 11 years. He's a supervisor over an espionage squad up in Baltimore.
Oh, my gosh.
And he loves what he does. And they married a girl from Sand Springs, and so it was great. And my other two sons doing very well as well. But a lot of that had to do with where they were brought up and in the environment they were brought up in. So I always remind people, no, Tulsa doesn't have oceans. It has Grand Lake, which is
right.
wonderful. But it also is a wonderful, wonderful place to raise kids. I have no regrets. I would do it all over again. It was an absolutely amazing place to raise children.
And what was that initial connection here?
It was just that my wife and I, we lived in Houston. That's okay. where my three sons were born. And as they were getting a little older, I didn't want to raise them in a big city. We had some friends that lived here. We came to visit them. And I said to my wife, this is a wonderful city. I was amazed how clean it was. And back in those days, they used to wash the streets
yeah, yeah.
and everything. And I thought, what a great place to raise kids. It was very centrally located, so for my travel, it was wonderful. I could go to either coast
right.
and back in the same day if I needed to. So we moved here, and I don't know what's in the beginning if we thought, well, we'll actually stay here for. But as soon as we were here for a while, we realized this is where you want to raise your kids, and this is where we stayed.
That's a great endorsement of our
yeah,
city.
Yeah, it's a wonderful
like
city. Wonderful city.
So do you and your son, I mean, do you collaborate? Do you throw things, ideas at each other?
Great. He's a counterintelligence agent, so he deals with all the espionage matters
right.
and things like that. But I had the opportunity. I teach at the FBI Academy and have for four decades.
Wow.
So I taught my son when he went through the academy, like I teach every agent that goes through the academy. So we speak a lot, but there are certain things that he has clearance for that I wouldn't have that he obviously can't discuss with me. But it's just one, you know, to be honest with you, people look at my life and they think it's amazing what I did from 16 to 21 in which they made a movie. I, at 68 years old, look at my life and think to myself, not that that was such a big deal, but the fact that I did it, I went to prison, I paid my debt, I paid the money back, I've worked for my government for four decades. My own son has become an FBI agent. My life, to me, is most fascinating about what happened afterwards. And only in America could someone do what I did and then turn around and turn their life around and do something so positive with it. I've been married to my one and only wife for 39 years. I've brought three wonderful sons into the world. I have four grandchildren. It's an amazing country, an amazing place. And that's what amazes me most about my life when I look back at it.
Sort of this ability of redemption or rewriting your life or this whole, I mean.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It's what you do with your life. So everybody makes mistakes in life. So whether you're alcoholic, whether you have drug problems, whatever it is, if you want to change your life, and it has to be you that wants to do something better with your life and make something in your life, this country allows you to do that. You can always get up and start over again if you want to. The opportunity is there. We live in a great, forgiving country. And you pay your debt and you go on about and do something with your life and you can do that. So that opportunity is there if you want to.
That's a great message in
yeah.
general, I think. You've been fantastic. Is there any other tips you want to add or anything I should know leaving here?
Yeah, I always remind people that if you make it easy for people to steal from you, and it's very, very unfortunate, but the chances are people will. So you don't want to make it easy for people to steal from you. So you need to be just a little bit smarter and a little bit wiser than you did 20 years ago. So stop, verify, make sure that what you're being told is accurate information.
It's a great message, just that whole idea that it's okay to follow up, it's okay to question.
Exactly.
I do think when you live in the heartland like this, I mean, we are taught
exactly.
to be polite. You raise your children that way, and you need them to be.
Absolutely.
So I do, I like that skepticism versus cynicism.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
My
I really
pleasure.
Appreciate your
My
time.
Pleasure.
That's awesome.